Welcome to Health Styles. I'm Diana Mason, one of the producers of this program that's brought to you by the Center for Health, Media, and Policy at Hunter College, City University of New York. The development of girls is sometimes a rocky road. Besides coping with the hormonal changes going on in their bodies, they often struggle to develop into whole, healthy beings who are able to really live up to their potential. These struggles may arise from growing up in families that are challenged with limited resources, both material and psychological, social resources, as well as poor, under-resourced, maybe unsafe, unhealthy communities. But as Hillary Clinton has said, it takes a village to raise a child. And when girls are surrounded by a supportive, loving village, they can thrive. So what do these villages look like that can support young girls in growing up into strong, powerful, healthy beings? Today on Health Styles, we're going to talk about one example of a village that has existed and is expanding in its work because it's been so successful. The Lower East Side Girls Club on the Lower East Side of Manhattan has been such a village. It's expanding both the size of the village and its vision for supporting girls and their families. And I'm pleased to have on Health Styles today three people who've been building this village. Let me first introduce Adriana Pazzulli. Did I say that right, Adriana?
That's it.
All right. She's the Director of Development for the Lower East Side Girls Club. Thanks so much for coming on today, Adriana.
Thank you.
And Jennifer Sugg, who is the Environmental Educator for the Lower East Side Girls Club. And Jennifer, I'm really eager to hear about an environmental educator and what you do. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And Susan Luck, who actually has been on Health Styles some other times, particularly with Barbara Glickstein, the co-producer. Susan Luck is a community health nurse, a clinical nutritionist, nurse coach, and medical anthropologist who's been working with the Lower East Side Girls Club to develop programs in health and wellness for the girls and their families. Susan, thank you so much for joining me.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
So let's start off, Adriana, with a little bit of background about the Lower East Side Girls Club. Tell us how this girls club evolved.
The Lower East Side Girls Club was founded in 1996 by a group, a very diverse group of community women who knew each other through community daycares, schools, local parks, libraries, and other community institutions. Through their children and through their volunteer work. And they came together to address a very egregious disparity in services that they saw on the Lower East Side, where there were organizations serving only boys that had no available services for girls. And these women started in a very grassroots fashion, meeting in the Lillian Wald and Jacob Riis houses on Avenue D.
Which are historic housing,
yes.
Right?
Historic housing, very significant, both names, very significant. And they started having meetings about what can we do to support our community's girls.
And talk about the services as they have been existing.
We started as a arts-based program that literally would cart around art supplies in shopping carts and teach arts classes for girls in any available community space that we could find. So we were a little bit of a roving organization that went to seek out which girls needed help, and girls started coming. And then we moved into the back of a sock and underwear store on Avenue D, where you had to walk through the 99-cent store into the basement, and started, that was our first little office, and we started a little daily after-school program and Saturday program in that office.
And how many girls were being served there then?
We had two groups, the cats and the kittens. The cats were older girls, high school, and the kittens were the little girls. And it was about 20, 25 girls.
Huh.
And as good things do, the idea spread, the concept spread, the need spread, and people started showing up with their kids. We outgrew that space And it was around that time, 1997, 1998, where it became very clear that a permanent facility, a permanent girls' club, was really the only way that our organization would have a permanent foothold in the community. Mm. And simultaneous to building and working towards our vision of building New York City's first and only girls' club center, we developed programs that really seek to build leadership in young women in three distinct areas: ethical leadership, entrepreneurial leadership, and environmental leadership. And they overlap in many ways, but today really focusing on the environmental piece and the health piece has become a huge part of what we do as an organization and how we feel that we can really work in a very deep way with all of our community's young women and their families.
I think I hear some of the young women in the background.
Oh, they're here all the time.
So how many young women are you serving now?
At this point, we work with about 300 wow. in a very intensive way, and another 200 additional girls come to our big community forums, our walkathons, which we'll touch on in a little bit, and our big public events.
So you are expanding, and tell us how you're doing this expansion.
The Lower East Side Girls Club has been building a state-of-the-art 30,000 square foot sustainably built center on Avenue D between 7th and 8th Street, and we are finalizing construction this winter and ready to open our doors in 2013. We have been fundraising for this center and working on the plans since almost our inception. Mm. And it's really a dream come true for the entire community. And we have many mothers and community women on staff whose daughters have been with our organization since they were 8 years old and are now graduating from college. So it's really a dream realized for all of us. And it's very exciting, all the different levels of donors, community stakeholders, volunteers, elected officials, institutions such as Hunter College and other institutions we're partnering with, who've rallied around this concept of a girls' club and helped us turn a lot of our dreams into this reality of a center. And we'll have very strong partnerships with community institutions as well.
I want to talk a little bit more about that, but I want you to first give a sense of, and Jennifer, you can certainly speak to this in terms of the environmental work you're doing. What are some of the programs that you have there for the girls? And I'm going to hold off on, Susan, some of the work that you're doing. If we could focus for a minute on some of the other work. I know there was a, for example, this is an environment, is not environmental, but you had cooking classes, and wasn't there a bakery, and you sell the products that the girls make or something? Okay, help me out here.
Yes, and I'll let Jennifer touch on when we drill down into some of our environmental work.
Yeah.
One of the first programs that we had was a baking program where we were able to get girls to come after school, relax, de-stress from school, bake in our bake shop. And it was also a way for them to put their guards down, have some time with our staff, and really tell us what was going on in their lives. So it was a way to engage them, and it was also a successful fundraiser because we realized that this was a way we could start raising a little bit of money to buy art supplies and supplies for our programs. We we developed a signature cookie, which is a delicious, very beautifully designed butter cookie that we perfected the recipe over the years, and we started selling these baked goods at churches and community events and fairs, and word spread that the Lower East Side Girls Club Sweet Things Bake Shop is making great cookies, and we've really tried to build that into a revenue stream for the Girls Club and also a way for young women to have that first professional employment experience.
Great. I've got to sample one of those cookies next time I'm down there.
They're good. We have a healthy vegan cookie, and we have some healthier products also. But, you know, The cookies and the cupcakes have been great, especially around the holidays. People have buy them as gifts, send them to people, and it's a way to spread our message in a non-traditional fashion.
So, Jennifer, tell us about some of the environmental work you're doing with them.
Yeah, our environmental program is kind of one of the foundational aspects of what the Girls Club has been about since its beginning. We do, first off, to say that everything that the Girls Club would do is we do it in like a holistic fashion, so everything's connected with each other. So like the Cookie Academy or the Bake Shop's connected with kind of the health and wellness and nutrition programs is connected to understanding our environment, both in the macro and in the macro sense, like at the home, in their community, and in the broader national and international sense. Some of our environmental programs include Girls Gone Green, and that we have a component for the younger girls, which is called Baby Green, where we kind of introduce ideas of caring for their environment, caring for the community, and the broader environment. As the girls age into the program, it becomes more of an activist and advocacy program. It's tied also to one of our programs, Girls as Activist Leaders and Advocates. It's a program called GALA. But this is really a program that brings together not just an understanding of the environment and activism, social activism, but also the ethics of fair trade, starting, and also like do-it-yourself ethos that the girls create their own products. One of the activities that we do is a greener is cleaner project where we get the girls to document what's underneath their kitchen sinks at home and all the chemicals and toxins, and to create clean green cleaning kits to hand out to people in their community, and handing out plants that can help clean indoor air quality within the girls' apartments, which is definitely an issue in some of the housing. So we really make it hands-on to give them a grasp. And we're also involved. We have partnerships with organizations like the BioBus.
What's the BioBus?
The BioBus is an organization. It's small. It's started by a group of young scientists. They have an old school bus that's been repurposed as a roaming science lab, but it's run on biodiesel fuel. So it goes around to different schools, and it's also a partner with the Girls Club. It'll be helping us to work some of our environmental science programs in the new Girls Club facility.
Great. So let me just say that you've been listening right now to Jennifer Sugg, who is environmental educator for the Lower East Side Girls Club. And we're also talking with Adriana Pizzulli, who's the director of development for the Girls Club, and Susan Luck, a community health nurse, and who has been working with the Girls Club on health and wellness programs. And we're talking about the Lower East Side Girls Club as an example of how to create a village to support the growth and development of the young girls in your community. It's a great model, and I dare say, Jennifer, there probably aren't too many places that have an environmental educator on staff. Is that right?
I hopefully we're growing in number.
Good. Well, let me turn to Susan Luck. And Susan, there's already some linkages that have been made between the bakery, although I'm really pondering this, what sounds like a delicious butter cookie, and health and wellness. You can make that link for me. Tell us a little bit about, though, the work that you've been doing and the vision you have for health and wellness for these girls.
Thank you. Well, I think that, you know, traditionally and in healthcare, we think of health and wellness as through the lens of the medical model. And what's so unique about the Girls Club is they really understand and address all aspects of the individual within the context of their families, communities, their peers, relationships, and the broader lens of what is health and how do people really actualize that. So they may be looking at qualities within the girls and help to cultivate them, leadership skills, future professions and options for them. It might be around economics, spirituality, and many other things that I've seen in my relationship with the Girls Club, yoga classes for the girls, healthy cooking classes, and certainly creating a community within the Girls Club. And I think that's probably a core piece of health and wellness. When you see how the girls, instead of whatever extracurricular activities there may be, choose to come to the Girls Club after school and hang out together, but create in creative ways, whether it's the arts or yoga or working on community involvement and programs that the Girls Club offers in the community. I also think that the impact is not even yet known. I just want to give an example. This summer, I was working with some students at Hunter College, nursing students who are in their graduate program in community health and public health, and one of the graduates, and they put together a health survey with the help of Jen and one of the moms, and it became a way to really assess how the community perceives their own health and what services might be needed, and letting the community guide what how the plan evolves in terms of programs. And what was so amazing for me is that when we asked questions about nutrition and health and well-being, there was really an awareness that you don't see across the general population about the environment, the kind of chemicals they use or don't use in their homes, their choice of how they prepare foods, etc. And what I realized is that whether it's the mom's involvement with the Girls Club as volunteers or the girls going home and sharing the information with their moms, there is this extended network of and collaboration to really create models of health and wellness individually and again within the family structure. And I'm involved in working with the community who knows what their needs are, the staff who many of them, as Adriana shared, come out of being girls in the Girls Club and now work within the Girls Club and really have a relationship to the community, and looking at resources and new ways of developing it. One example is we talk about what will we have for the girls when they come to the after-school activities. Will they get a good protein shake that's full of vitamins and minerals to give them energy after a long day at school and not knowing what they ate during the day? Will they be able to be assessed for stress and find creative ways of dealing with stress and create programs around that? And there are so many possibilities, and the opportunity as this new site opens to develop them is just wonderful. And I'm really happy to be part of it. And just to say one thing more is that because Hunter has partnered with the Girls Club, we have this amazing opportunity to have students who really are choosing this as their work in their environment for study over the course of the next year, because they want to be part of new models of health and wellness and move beyond the traditional nursing model. This is all part of nursing, but in a new and expanded way of thinking of wellness, of the entirety of the individual in all dimensions. And I'm working with the students, and I am thrilled to be part of seeing their involvement and perception and participation in this.
Great. And let me just, transparency's sake, Hunter College is my employer. I am part of the School of Nursing there, and our Center for Health Media and Policy that supports this program, Health Styles, is at Hunter College. I had the good fortune of making a site visit because of Barbara Glickstein, our co-producer, co-moderator here on Health Styles. She brought me onto a site visit at the Lower East Side Girls Club that was really pretty amazing to see this building that's being constructed, and to have more so than just seeing a shell of a building was the conversation around what this building will be like for these girls, and this how much thought is going into creating this incredible environment where there will be really meaningful activities for what one of you described as that leadership development, that advocacy development, and that the development of health and wellness. It was really incredibly impressive. I'm wondering, though, how, and we're tight on time here, if you could talk just briefly about how do you engage a community to care about this work?
Well, the Lower East Side Girls Club has always engaged community members as volunteers. So we started by getting a lot of wonderful community members, neighbors, and mothers asking, what can I do to help? So it's that natural inclination to want to be engaged in something that's in your own neighborhood. And we really work very hard to find appropriate placements for volunteers, support our volunteers, and help our volunteers feel a real connection long-term with the organization. That's been a big investment of ours. And we work very closely with community volunteers, either students or seniors, parents who have extra time, and young professionals. So building our volunteer group has been one way. Another way of really getting the community to rally around the Girls Club and engage the community in the Girls Club has been to host a lot of free public events. And we really want, as we've been building our new Center for Community, opening on Avenue D in 2013, we've wanted to really, you know, deepen our networks within the neighborhood. Many of our staff members are founder, board members, are community women themselves. And so through that natural connection, we've really been able to open our doors to people through free community events, engaging volunteers. We have fundraising efforts that are at a very affordable scale, anywhere from $5 to $20, where people can participate and support one of our programs. And we've also really worked very hard to make our building a center for community, where community members can hold meetings, where community members can time bank for Girls Club members activities, which is a program that we're developing, where community members can be engaged as volunteers. And, you know, we are the community and they are us. And so, you know, because we have that longstanding relationship and we're now a 16-year-old institution, it's been a very natural evolution for us.
So it's a model that's engaged the girls that it's serving, their families, and the whole community.
It is. It is. And I think that is one of our greatest strengths.
Yes.
The fundraising, all, you know, the communication with our higher, you know, bigger donors, the long-term strategic planning, all of those things are important as we grow and evolve as an organization. But our heart and the base of who we are as a girls club is that we are very engaged within our community and there is room for people to participate actively.
Well, I'm afraid we've run out of time. Time goes very quickly, unfortunately. And I want to thank all three of you for coming on. And I'm hoping that this will spur some thinking among people in other communities to think about how they can create a village to support the young people, girls or boys, to support those young people, to be all that they can be, to be live up to their potential in healthy, productive, positive ways. So, Adriana, do you want to share with people, Adriana Pizzulli, who's the Director of Development for the Lower East Side Girls Club, how can people learn more about the Girls Club and get in touch with the Girls Club?
Well, first visit our website at girlsclub.org, and you know, we will be hosting tours of our new building starting in the spring of 2013. Mm-hmm. There will be community forums and tours. Those will be posted on the website in the new year. And join our mailing list. Stay mm-hmm. up to date on our Facebook page. And, of course, reach out to me or anyone on the call today about getting involved and engaged specifically in one program. You can also apply to volunteer on our website, girlsclub.org, and you can inquire about enrollment for your child.
Great. That's girlsclub.org. And Susan Luck, you do a lot of work across the country. How about if people would like to learn more about approaches, community-based approaches to health and wellness for young people?
Well, I would just invite them. They can contact me directly, mm-hmm. and it would be the best way would probably be sluck@earthrose.org. And EarthRose is an organization for women and children's health, specifically looking at the environmental influences. So sluck@earthrose.org.
sluck@earthrose.org. Great.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much. This is really exciting. And when you open, we need to have you come back on and talk about how exciting and the new spaces and all the activities that are going on there. Thank you all so much for the village you're creating. Thank you.
Thank you, Diana.
And I want to thank listeners for tuning in and hope that you'll think about how you contribute to being a part of a village to support the young people in our lives. It does take a village, and it takes not just the families, but everyone who's in that community. So do what you can to reach out to support the young people in your community, and here's some resources for you if you need some help. I'm Diana Mason, one of the producers of Health Styles, that's brought to you by the Center for Health, Media, and Policy at Hunter College, City University of New York. You can follow us on our blog, HealthCetera, at www.centerforhealthmediapolicy.com. That's centerforhealthmediapolicy.com. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you.